If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
But I want to take a moment to acknowledge the historic nature of her chancellorship. First woman chancellor in German history, the first chancellor from the former East Germany, and now the second largest, longest serving chancellor since Helmut Kohl.
America's sleepy grandpa, President Joe Biden, with Angela Merkel at the White House yesterday. Welcome to Hour 1 of the Dana Show for a Friday. How are you, friends? This is the Dana Show Southern Command, and we're reporting for duty. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's always an honor to fill in for my friend Dana Lashing. You guys be safe. Chris, Dana, wherever you guys are today. You can join us always online, danaradio.com, and Steve's going to prepare the audio in podcast form after the show. I want to start today's program just sending condolences out to family in West Texas. We have another member of the Thin Blue Line that was taken from us last night. It was an 11-hour standoff in West Texas. I'm familiar with a lot of Texas. I'm in particular familiar with West Texas because I have lots of family and friends. In fact, that's where I plucked my beautiful bride from West Texas, a small community called Crosbyton, Texas. And that is where Josh Bartlett is from. Tiny little community, Lubbock, Texas. After an 11-hour standoff, this sheriff's sergeant, Josh Bartlett, was gunned down. And 4 other officers were hurt. In fact, I understand there's one in critical condition. See, there was some guy, I'm not going to bother saying his name, some guy, he opened fire. Police showed up, this guy opened fire, and then he barricaded himself for 11 hours, SWAT waiting for him outside. Little community of Levelland, Texas, outside Lubbock. But in the end, Lubbock area SWAT commander, Sergeant Josh Bartlett, was killed in the line of duty, and I understand he's from that small community of Crosbyton, Texas. Just sending, you know, just prayer, condolences, and sympathies to, and a thank you. I mean, what else can we say? We have all these wonderful, brave frontline volunteers all across our country, the Thin Blue Line. We are a nation of laws. We are a nation of free men and women. We still are free men. Free women, we come together, we agree on laws, we agree on the enforcement of laws, and it's not an easy gig. It takes a special type of individual to answer the call and go out there, and that individual never knows whether they're going to come back. Every single police officer, state police officer, federal official, anyone in law enforcement capacity, I know you guys think about this quite a bit. I've had plenty of conversations with folks here on the front line, Border Patrol and DPS, and just here, we're broadcasting from McAllen, Texas, here at McAllen PD. We have a wonderful police department here. They're not all perfect. They have, yes, very, very, very few bad individuals in the ranks. They're always constantly working to perfect and get those individuals out of there. We've lost a good one yesterday. Lubbock area SWAT commander, Sergeant Josh Bartlett, killed in the line of duty. And just thank and pray for his family, for peace. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you to all police officers, state police, federal police. You guys, thank you for volunteering to uphold the law, enforce the law, And all you peace officers out there, thank you. I saw this headline from D.C. that you and I, actually, it's our grandkids because we don't have any extra money to spend on stuff like this because everything that's being spent right now with the, what is it? How deep is the hole right now? $6 trillion so far and counting. And now lawmakers up in D.C. would like to dig another trillion for the brick and mortar real infrastructure stuff that we can't afford right now. And we got these crazy, just downright lunatics, crazy spenders trying to create infrastructure out of everything. Grandma and little kids and you. Hey, you're infrastructure too. Another $4 trillion for that. It's all deficit spending. It's all COVID deficit spending. Our great-grandkids have to pay for all this stuff if we manage to survive as a nation that long for them to pay back maybe the interest. It's taxation without representation. So far, we've got a $30,000 a month program. We're buying radio ads. Our grandkids are buying radio ads in Central America in an effort to curb the illegal immigration flood headed to our southern border. Spending how many millions of dollars, which reminds me, how many millions of dollars are we spending on hotel rooms for some of these family units that are coming across the border? How many untold, yet properly, could be properly investigated and reported, millions upon millions of dollars that we're spending for contractors to hold the likely by now, and I haven't gone back to look for the number, and it's getting harder and harder to dig for this type of information. What is it? Probably about 23, maybe 24,000 illegal immigrant children who came on their own and are still coming to this nation. Part of the Biden administration more humane and merciful approach to immigration, which means just leave the whole damn front door open. Everybody come on in. Oh, and by the way, I found out yesterday that this coming weekend, something called Title 42, and if you're not familiar with this Title 42 thing, and I don't blame you because you work for a living, and I appreciate you listening to the Dana Show and other talk radio and getting information, going online and doing your research. But for you guys working for a living and trying to pay the bills and acquire, amass some type of wealth so that the government can scoop that away from you. You get little tidbits of information. Title 42, I hear that all the time. Title 42, a Trump-era initiative to send back every single illegal immigrant across the border. They wanted asylum. Okay, fine. Go back to Mexico. You came from Central America. Oh, okay, fine. Go back to Mexico. Title 42, pandemic season. For health-related reasons, Title 42, go back. Por favor, go back, please. Mexico, if you're single. And one of the statistics that the Biden federal government has been parading for everybody, so, oh, we get about half, more than half of the illegal immigrants that have been coming into this country have been returned. That's because they're single and because they've been implementing, exercising the Trump era Title 42 health initiative to send back single individuals because of health reasons. That's coming to an end this weekend. And I've got some individuals here on our border, quite nervous. Folks in business, border advocacy organizations that normally I would hear quotes from condemning a border wall as anti-friendship, anti-trade, anti-whatever, diplomatic. Who are, of late, I was kind of surprised to hear earlier this week, some here, deep South Texas border, U.S.-Mexico individuals expressing concern. Even they are expressing concern that Title 42, the provision that returns every single illegal immigrant back to Mexico, no matter where they came from, if they came on their own, they didn't show up with a kid or rent a kid or the rest of their family, that's coming to an end this weekend. So stay tuned to the border. And by the way, let me say thank you to Arizona Representative Andy Biggs, who first time I spoke with him was on the Dana Show a few weeks back. Last time Dana asked me to fill in, open up Southern Command. He phoned in. Andy Biggs I don't know if he left already, but I spoke with him yesterday. He came down here with another handful of Washington lawmakers, House lawmakers, taking a look at the Biden border mess and the big tents holding illegal immigrant children and the processing centers at Border Patrol. Thank you, Representative Andy Biggs. Thank you for doing your job. Thank you for educating fellow lawmakers. It's a work in progress. And in the end, it falls back on Congress to do their job, by the way. We are going to need, and here's the scary reality. We are going to need, I say we, liberty-loving Americans, citizens, fellow citizens and patriots, all of us who wish to preserve our nation, America for Americans, Americans first. You know, that mindset that the leftists don't quite understand, the Democrat Party, water-carrying media in this country, will always label as nationalist. Like, that's a bad word. I'm a proud nationalist. I love America. I love my nation. I wish to preserve the United States of America. I've taken the time to understand the precious gift of liberty that I can exercise in this country. And I know that many of y'all do too. And that's why you're so passionate about preserving this country that we've enjoyed. We'd like it. We'd like for it to be around for our children in the near future. We're in a time of, what was it? Somebody told me the other day, yeah, Serge, we live in a time of smartphones and stupid people. And unfortunately, we got way too many stupid people in positions of power at the state and positions of power up in Washington, D.C. And too many folks who do not understand the precious gift of U.S. citizenship and liberty that they're able to exercise. So I'll tell you who understands what we have. Even among all these thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants, yeah, they understand how good we have it. Folks in Cuba marching the streets, Lord knows what's happening to them right now. I don't know. I'm searching through Twitter. I have to go deep into the Cuban community in Florida and here in Texas. See if they can get any video, any audio out of Cuba to see what's going on in Cuba right now. They understand how good we have it in Cuba and our own children in this country. American-born, U.S. citizens, they don't understand how good we have it. And we've done a poor job of electing and not voting. And by not voting, allowing idiots to stay in Washington, D.C., to stay in state houses across the country. And we've done a poor job in monitoring our education of our children, public schools, social studies, history, all those things. It's time to change that, don't you think? That's going to be some of the themes that I bring to the table yet again. We'll be talking, yes, about critical race theory. We'll be talking about election reform as, you know, the latest effort here in Texas, as defined by Texas, our effort to properly put in place election protections. Yeah, I got some friends showing up. So you stick around for those conversations. Let's all go to school, be educated, be informed. And that way, next time you have a conversation with friends and family who are constantly spoon-fed lies, leftist lies, Marxist-inspired lies, misinformation. Yeah, the real misinformation is out there in the traditional media, the dinosaur media, the major networks, and MSNBC and CNN. And sometimes you get a few of those clowns that show up at Fox as well. Be diverse in the information that you consume. Go out there and seek the truth. It's out there, amigos. So you stay tuned. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and we're reporting to you today from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Everyone knows when applying to jobs, you're lucky if you make it through one application before you're just ready to give up. It takes, on average, 18 minutes to apply to a single job. That's time consuming. Now, with the latter's new Apply For Me service, their expert team will apply to jobs for you. This is a game changer. The latter's is the number one job search site for six-figure jobs. Search thousands of jobs, and the latter's Apply For Me service does all the work of applying to jobs for you. Simply upload your resume and answer one set of questions one time, then click Apply For Me, and the latter's team will fill out all of the forms for you. You'll receive email confirmation when your application is complete, so you can sit back and relax. Plus, with a new Google Chrome extension. Apply for Me works on any job site, corporate career site, and job application page. One click, no hassle, no wasted time. Make those tedious job applications history and start using Ladder's new Apply for Me service today. Visit theladders.com/Dana to sign up. That's theladders.com/Dana.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
Yeah, and those headlines have been going absolutely bonkers, nuts, lunatic. Oh my goodness, the world is upside down right now. And thank you to all of y'all who voted out Donald Trump. And thank you, I guess I'm saying this tongue in cheek, trying not to bite myself, for voting for Joe Biden. My goodness, the world is completely wacko right now. So you stay tuned to the Dana Show, and we'll be dispensing as best we can, just line it up for you and start shooting the truth and facts and information, commentary, conversation, just double checking everything. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show. And I got producer Steve far, far away from me. And Steve, like an idiot, I didn't start the clock. So, brother, give me a 90-second, two-minute warning when I need to do headlines, because I know we got to take care of the folks who support us. Here in Texas, where I'm reporting to from, again, blessed soil, The Dana Show, still in Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Dana will be back, Lord willing, on Monday. We're on blessed soil. She's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas. And in Texas, we're making news nationwide because we got 51 cowards, Democrats, who ran from the state because they would know they were going to lose. They were going to get their butts kicked by Republicans who control the legislature. And no, it's not an issue of restricting or taking away people's rights to vote or diminishing people's rights to vote or making it harder to vote. It's beyond hyperbole what's taking place. This is downright lies. These 51 cowards that run for Texas. And as a Texan, you don't run from anything. These individuals ain't Texan. They're an embarrassment to our state. So anyway, they're up in D.C. working against our own self-interest as a state, working against all states and their self-interest, giving cover, giving ammunition to political enemies up in D.C. who wish to federalize elections. By our Constitution, elections are supposed to be run by states. Okay, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
As I mentioned, $30,000 a month is being spent on radio ads to try to convince illegal immigrants not to come to the state of Texas, the new money being spent by the feds. Western U.S. bracing for another major heat wave this weekend. Triple-digit temperatures expected from the Mountain West into Canada. All this starting tomorrow, so you guys stay cool, stay safe up there. Federal Aviation Administration ordering inspections to be done on more than 2,500 Boeing 737s. There seems to be a problem with the cabin pressure switch. Let's see. The option to book a shared ride on Lyft is coming back. I still haven't done the ride sharing thing. I mean, I can't remember the last time I took a taxi. I think it was probably when I went to New York last time I did a taxi. I've never tried the Lyft or the Uber stuff yet. Lyft is bringing up the shared ride option in some major cities. So just something to remember if you're going to Denver, Philadelphia, Chicago, if you use this, you'll be able to use that starting next week. And Netflix is looking to add video games to its streaming service. It's going to be a free service, part of Netflix. Well, they're going to add it. It's not free, but because you're paying for Netflix, but they won't charge you extra. That's what I meant to say. From her Southern Command in South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Summer is heating up, and no sweat if you're wearing the new Apollo men's underwear from Tommy John. Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet. Has a performance-grade, dry-release fabric blend that's exclusive to Tommy John. Apollo men's underwear, it's proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear, and that's perfect for summer. Tommy John underwear moves with you. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric that has 4 times the stretch of competing brands. Apollo underwear is soft, supportive, and available up to size 4XL. See, that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. And with over 15 million pairs sold, men across America, they love them some Tommy John underwear. Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off. Apollo men's underwear, it's proven to keep you drier and up up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear, and that's perfect for summer. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Communism is a failed system, universally failed system. And I don't see socialism as a very useful substitute, but that's another story.
Wait a second. Hang on a second. Did somebody forget to give Grandpa's medication? Did Joe Biden just say communism is a failed system and he doesn't see socialism as a useful substitute? He said that, right? He said that yesterday when he was meeting with Angela Merkel from Germany. And listen real hard. Listen. You can hear in the distance all that wailing and gnashing of teeth and the screeching AOC and her squad, along with Bernie, along with Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, and all these communists, all these socialists. They probably lost it as soon as he said, communism is a failed system. Amen, brother. Wow, I agree with you, President Biden. Okay, go take a nap now. Obviously, you need a nap because you must not be feeling too well for saying something like that. And socialism, not a very useful substitute. Can you please? Oh, by the way, welcome to hour one of the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from the Dana Show Southern Command. And for my friend Dana, always an honor. Lord bless you and Chris, wherever you guys are today. You guys be safe. Dana will be back with us on Monday. No wonder they don't want Joe Biden going loose and start answering questions to the press. Oh, that is. I'm going to grab that piece of audio. Man, Steve and I were talking, producer Steve and I were talking off here about audio and quotes and music cuts and things, part of the show, just behind the scenes stuff. This one, I think, is a money shot, though, Steve-O. Communism is a failed system. I don't see socialism as a very useful substitute. Boom! I think that could be an intro for pretty much all shows across the nation. And now that he's being introspective, I would hope that Joe Biden would take the time to, you know, examine the belly lint, to start thinking about what he said. My goodness. Yeah, and of course, we got a big dose of reality of late because of Cuba. We've been talking a lot this week because of this. How I wish what is taking place in Cuba would actually blossom into an actual revolution, a takeover, an end to the communist dictatorship in Cuba. I can only hope and pray, but it's up to the folks in Cuba. It's up to the folks on the ground, marching, whatever it is that they're doing today. We don't know, because typical for, you know, of tyrants and communists to shut down information sources, to shut down the truth, to shut down the internet. They don't want you to see, much like in Iran a few years ago during the Green Revolution under Obama. Remember that? Just Obama, just a tacit mention, just, okay, yeah. Good luck, muchachos. Just didn't really say anything forceful, no encouragement of a revolution in Iran to take down the mullahs back during Obama. Pretty much the same thing under this administration, just in tacit mention. Although I must say, that's a sweet quote right there. Communism, a failed system. I don't see socialism, a very useful substitute. I wonder if any reporters followed up on that, which they should. They should just grab that sucker and just pound on it. What are you doing? What is the Biden administration? What are all these leftists? What is this $4 trillion in so-called human infrastructure spending other than just outright socialism, deficit spending, providing for people who can provide for and should provide for themselves, making people dependent on the state? That's socialism. My goodness, these people are beyond stupid. They see the truth right in front of them. It bites them. They don't even recognize it. In Cuba, we've been talking a lot about those wonderful folks in Cuba, now realizing that they need to do something else because they're hungry and they're sick. And they're just, and I don't blame, downright sick and tired. Now, for example, some of the stories that I've been listening to this week, and I've got my colleagues here at the radio station, my afternoon talk show host, Roxanne, Roxanne Flota, she has a talk show here on my news talker. Her family, her mom is a Christian singer and evangelist. Ooh, years back, went to Cuba. And when they barely had opened up Cuba for people to come in from the outside and go to church down there and do a little preaching, well, that was a long time ago. Things haven't changed any. In fact, they're worse now than they were years back. Back then when she went down there, I was hearing all these stories about like one family sharing the same belt. Like the man, the father, along with the son, and they had like one belt. Stories of individuals having like one pair of pants. And this is not an exaggeration. These are things that they witnessed. Americans and Westerners and folks in international aid and business have witnessed. The Cuban people have been suffering for decades. And it's not an exaggeration. Cuban Americans living in here in South Texas will tell me stories of, you know, individuals having a pair of shoes, one pair of shoes that sometimes have to be shared among family members, literally for years. A pair of pants for like just one a month or one every 6 months, something like, it's just awful. And of course you have the state coming and seizing everything, all forms of wealth, from precious metals, jewelry, furniture, land. It all belongs to the state. Communism, it is a failure. Socialism is a failure. You eat the golden goose, you don't get a golden egg. And that's communism. And we've been thinking a lot about those precious folks marching the streets of Cuba, marching the streets of Havana, all over the place, likely getting their heads beaten in and being attacked by police. They're marching with the American flag, the symbol of hope and liberty, the American flag, a symbol of hope and liberty, prosperity and opportunity that many of our children have been brainwashed by Marxists, by leftists, by academics. For years now, for almost two generations, we have lost our way as a country, and we need to get it back in education and teaching our children our unique heritage, our culture that is based in liberty. And it's going to have to start at home. It might even be in church where you guys need to start some little chapter like that to teach the roots of our godly faith in Western society, from the Magna Carta to the Constitution. It's going to be up to us. And eventually, hopefully, we get in there in the academic world and in schools to change all that, because we got battle royal taking place right now. Leftists and Marxists trying to brainwash our children again. They get it in Cuba. They see us as the symbol of hope and opportunity, and our children don't understand what they have. They do not appreciate their citizenship. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. More on that a little later on in the show. Stick around. I got a conversation with my friend Joe Collins, a recent friend that I've made. He's out in California. He's running for Congress, trying to get rid of Maxine Waters, trying to give Californians a new representation. But again, it's up to them. It's going to be up to every single congressional district. Voters need to rise up. You guys need to find out who is defending your community, who's defending your country, and vote those people in. I needed to mention this real quick, because I know President Joe Biden was speaking with Angela Merkel. One of the big stories today, before I go to Joe, headlines and video I'm seeing on Twitter, just amazing today. Germany, Belgium, at least 100 dead, massive flooding. They say up to 1,500 people still missing. It's amazing to see these pictures, the video coming in, a flash flooding taking place in Germany and in Belgium. Just another thing to be praying about. All right, Steve. Well, let me go to my friend Joe Collins. He's running for Congress. And I came to find out the other day, that's why I brought him back to the program, this effort to get rid of Gavin Newsom, Governor Goodhair, Gavin Newsom in California. He's a big part of that. There is hope for California after all. Go, Steve.
Let me bring in 13-year U.S. Navy veteran, and he's the campaign spokesman for the California recall effort of Governor Goodhair Gavin Newsom, and he's also, for the 43rd District in California, candidate for Congress. I hope he takes out Maxine Waters sometime in the future. Joe Collins, how you doing, Joe?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm enthused, brother. I'm excited because I found out Larry Elder is going to take a pause from talk radio, and he's going to run for governor in California. Look, I know he's got a snowball's chance in the Mojave Desert, chance to win, but the fact that there's an opportunity for Larry Elder to go on the campaign trail and get TV and radio interviews across the state, maybe, I don't know, maybe even do a debate, get on the stage and talk liberty. I'm excited, brother.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. In my opinion, I think that Larry Elder has the best chance in beating Gavin Newsom. It's going to take a lot of people to get behind him. I know I'm going to support him. I'm going to hop on a campaign trail with him. I actually meet with him, and we're going to talk strategies and, you know, team swapping, fundraising, and things of that nature.
Can I make a recommendation, Joe? Look, I don't have any good contact information from – I was talking with friends at a CPAC, and I tried a couple of emails. Maybe the messages aren't getting through. You got a lot of people in Texas who love liberty patriots like you, Joe, and Larry Elder, and all. We're family. We want to preserve America for our children, America for Americans. Ooh. And when you speak with him, could you please bop him upside the head and say, Larry, you need to speak with talk radio stations in Texas, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. Talk to that little dude in McAllen, Texas, because we can shake the tree loose and get him some support, get some money in his campaign account from Texas. If the libs do that, they send us New York and Hollywood-funded fake Mexican Beto O'Rourke to be running around town, this good Irish boy running around town trying to beat Ted Cruz. We can definitely give Larry Elder some money. Liberty-loving patriots here in other states, we can give him some money. So encourage him to make some time and do all those talk radio interviews with all those people across the nation. Please tell him that.
Listen, shoot me an email, and I'm going to print the email out, and I'm going to give it directly to him. But let me tell you, listeners, one of the biggest reasons why it's so important to support candidates who are running in California, the reason why is because you don't want Texas to turn purple. Don't California my Texas, right? Yeah, that should be all the reason right there.
That's right. Why did Governor Goodhair Gavin Newsom, why did he miss on the application declaring himself as a Democrat? Was he just too busy brushing his hair? What happened to Gavin?
You know, I think that I want to say it was intentional, but on the other hand, you know, I can't say for sure because he's dropped the ball on a lot of things when it comes to California. So dropping the ball on his own party is another thing I wouldn't put him past.
How many people, because it's going to be a long list, right? The recall election is going to be a long list of people, either D or R, whatever. Do you know how many people have signed up already to run for governor?
I think it's about 63, 64 people. I was going to put my name on there just to be one of the guys running, too, but I knew I'd win, you know. But we got to beat Maxine Waters. That's the only reason why I didn't do it.
Yeah, my man. So tell me about that. Joe Collins, my guest right now. Well, I've spoken with him before. He's a veteran, and he's a Republican, a 43rd District, California. You can support Joe as well. Next year, he's going to take the fight to Maxine Waters as well. So how goes your campaign?
Our campaign is good. I was really excited. The 2020 election, we took our district from a D-plus 54 to a D-plus 24 and increased the number of registered Republican voters by a little bit over 50,000.
Good.
Which is good for California because they think that South L.A. is a Democrat stronghold. But the thing about it is, you know, not only do Republicans have the better talking points, they have the better looking people. I mean, if you compare me to Maxine Waters, it's like good grief. It's like, you know, night and day. No, just kidding. We actually do a lot of work in the community and people love it. That's
why. Nice. I could follow that one with another grand slam, but no, we'll be nice. Hey, back to the recall effort that I know you're helping out with. I'm discouraged a little bit by some polling data. I know it's only polling data, but I just want to get your opinions on some initial polling data saying that voters in California, if held today, they might vote Governor Goodhair Gavin Newsom back into office. I think the ratio was close to 60% at last check, and I was just shaking my head when I saw that.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of Democrats are just sympathetic towards Democrats. I mean, you can destroy entire states and Democrats be like, oh, well, it was the COVID pandemic that messed up the state, not Gavin Newsom. Oh, the homelessness is because, you know, people just, they don't want to buy apartments. They're lazy or they don't want to buy houses. It's not Gavin Newsom. But I think that, you know, once we get people who engage in urban cities across America, I mean, well, across California where the Democrat strongholds are and start showing them the dangers and the damage that the Democrats have done to our states, I think Larry can pull it off.
How do we create a debate? How do we get Larry and Governor Goodhair Gavin and maybe a couple other people on stage?
I think we'll have to antagonize Gavin Newsom. You know, I think that's the only way to get him to do anything because I can't see Gavin Newsom debating anybody. And the reason why is because he makes so many mistakes. And if you get him on a debate stage, debate him with the majority of the mistakes that he's made, you know, he's going to be looking real bad. And that's a guaranteed L for him. So I can't see him. I can see him ignoring debates like the majority of Democrats who are failed politicians across the United States do.
When you meet with Larry Elder, please, brother, please get Larry on talk radio stations in Texas and nationwide. Let's get him some support and push, man. Push mightily. Start buying some airtime. Do a one-man forum, whatever's necessary. We need that message. And he's a great preacher of liberty. My good Professor Elder, he's an awesome preacher of liberty. We need his message to resonate and to get into the heads of all Californians to understand what they've lost and how they can change direction to save California and eventually save our country. Thank you, Joe.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Bless your brother. Joe Collins running for Congress out in California. And yeah, he's a big force behind that recall effort in California. Yeah, look him up. Larry Elder, that is a new name to you. You need to find out who Larry Elder is. You're going to love his life story, and you're going to fall in love with his father and the story of his father. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. We're reporting to you today from Southern Command for The Dana Show.
This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
Thanks for checking in today. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana, and we're reporting to you from her Southern Command in deep South Texas. Still in Texas, still in blessed soil. You stick around, got some more great conversations for you coming up in just a little bit. Oh, and Steve-O, give me the minute warning. Yeah, I forgot to do the clock thing again. I'm sorry, brother. I got fat fingers today. I didn't press it right. I got conversations going to help arm you with tools to fight CRT with Parents Defending Education. That's coming up just a little bit. You stick around for that. And a breakdown of the Texas voter integrity law that is, you know, everybody's so upset on the left. They're screaming, yelling like banshees, just screeching like banshees these days. What did they say? It's the end of democracy. All these lying coward Democrats from the Texas House and some senators that bolted to California because they needed to go see Mama Pelosi. Oh, Mama, they'd seen bad things about us back in Texas. All those Democrats leaving the state. Can you guys come on back? Let's settle things. And we're going to do the breakdown. I'll do as best I can, do a breakdown of the necessary Texas voter integrity law changes that are going to soon take place in Texas because Democrats don't have the vote to stop this. And Governor Greg Abbott, you just keep pushing, Governor. You keep pushing legislative session after legislative session, special session as necessary. Let me close this hour by saying thank you to the family of a Korean War veteran, Major Harvey Storms, at age 34, Texas A&M graduate. Whoop. He was killed in North Korea, December 1st, 1950. But because of the Korean War, his remains had never been found. Well, because President Trump, you remember when he walked across the 38th parallel and met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Well, the Koreans, North Koreans, gave the U.S. some remains. Well, the major was interred today at Arlington National Cemetery. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
Oh my goodness. Yes, that is the official announcement from Jen Psaki on the marriage from hell. That'd be Facebook and the federal government. Working in cahoots. They used to be dating. They were dating once. That's such a lovely couple, don't you think? Yeah, definitely were dating during the last presidential campaign. As any conservative, anything dealing with Donald Trump, anything dealing with COVID that came from Trump, anything on hydroxychloroquine or whatever it was, if it was all linked back to Trump, red flag it and question it and put a little bumper in front of your face. Are you sure you want to share this? And don't be sharing misinformation because, after all, it's Donald Trump. Yeah, that was Facebook back then. And now they're just officially announcing, I guess, the marriage between the federal government and Facebook. That's kind of scary. My goodness. Welcome to Hour 2 for a Friday of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez and for my friend Dana Lash. I'll say it one more time because I know I've got this wonderful microphone on the Dana Show all across the nation. And I know every now and then we get amigos checking in from Florida over at Mar-a-Lago or Mr. President. I'm talking to former President Trump. Could you please, please hurry up and get together with your capitalist amigos, billionaire amigos and venture capitalist friends? Could you please, please, please hurry up? Create a new platform. Social media platform, more liberty-minded and open, free, everybody. Competition. We desperately need some competition. Now, try to take down Facebook. Maybe there's a platform that already exists that you should be looking at. Because there's some alternative platforms out there to Facebook. I keep forgetting the ones that are mentioned to me because they're so minuscule and it just seems, forgive me if you participate with those small sites, but actually they just seem irrelevant because they're not in the, so they need propulsion. They need financial backing. They need a marketing push. That's all I'm saying. I don't say it to insult any competitor social media sites trying to fight against Facebook. We just need big dogs, big guns, big wallets like Donald Trump and like-minded friends with big wallets. To choose one and brush it up, perfect it, let's go and create some competition. And it's going to have to be an international push too because Facebook has like, what is it? Like they claim to have like, what, 1.5 to 2 billion people participating and they don't even blink. My goodness, they're just raking in the money hand over fist. Those regular reports, they're making a lot of money over at Facebook with all that advertising money. We need competition. Let the market fix itself. Because if that doesn't happen, I honestly just fear that individuals who have been abused by Facebook, who have been targeted by Facebook, politicians, regulators, they're going to do something that's just not against it goes against my nature. You see, there's some politicians out there. They consider Facebook so big, they want to call it a utility, and you know what happens with utility. right? There's just, we have one set of power lines that go across country. It's an infrastructure of power lines. And then we can set up some power producers, but the power lines, see, they want to call, pretty much call, designate Facebook so big, so fat. Yeah, that's the power line. And it's not. It's just, it's a provider. So we need more electricity retailers and providers. We just need the proper funding to get people to leave Facebook and go to another site, leave Twitter and go to another site. Look, I'm a nobody. And I say that laughingly because my presence here, my footprint here in Deep South Texas, we're the only news talker here in Deep South Texas. I'm a somebody to my wife and my children and my mom and my family. But here in South Texas on the media side, you know, I know my place. I'm way down here. But for Dana, who Dana has, my goodness, that's why I'm so honored that the Dana calls the babysit the program every now and then. Dana's footprint is amazing. She's, what was the ranking? Number six, right? Number six national talk show host in the nation, Dana Loesch, and climbing. That woman keeps getting more power and power. It's just, it's a huge audience that she has on Twitter and on Facebook. And of course, she's doing the cable thing now. Thank you, Jesus. You go, girl. More power to you. But a few days back, when she posted, I think I said this when I was filling in for Dana about 2 weeks ago, she simply posted that the Bible for Talk Radio, which is some talk radio magazine online site, said that Dana's number six. Just that posting on Facebook got flagged. It went against community standards. Like, I'm sorry, what? for what? What did she do wrong? It got flagged. It got taken down. She could only see it. It's ridiculous. All these snowflakes. It's either a bunch of snowflakes living in mama's basement somewhere. You know, every now and then they get hungry and, you know, you hear them yell out, "Mom, meatloaf," you know, from the basement. It's either a bunch of these snowflakes who have been conditioned by leftist education and uber-sensitive leftist media and all this PC training and everything that does not conform with their sensitivities and their point of view, which is very leftist, it's always offensive, or it's racist, or it's hate. Maybe it's labeled as hate. She simply posted a few days back that she was number six talk show host in the nation, according to their talk radio Bible. And that got flagged and taken down a few days back. It was back on Monday. I had a friend of mine share with me a little meme, which I copy pasted and put it on my little Facebook pages. I got a couple of them. It was on the left. It was Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, I know his name is Colin, but that's what I call him, Colin, because that dude stinks. Seriously. Colin Kaepernick. You know that failed, washed up quarterback from San Francisco? Had so much extra time on his hands that he was just kind of looking around saying, "You know, I'm gonna take a knee because I'm America is oppressive and cops are pigs, and I'm gonna wear socks that say cops are pigs. I'm gonna take a knee in defiance and protest." It wasn't out of respect. Any of y'all trying to tell me that Colin Kaepernick took a knee out of respect and reverence for the American flag, the symbol, the institutions, the traditions of America? Just stop it. Stop lying to me. Stop lying to yourself. Colin Kaepernick took a knee because he hates America, his blessed, wonderful country. It is imperfect as it is, providing him an opportunity to become a multimillionaire, to be adopted by white people, become a multimillionaire, and have a platform that he can say all sorts of stupid crap like he always does. And still, idiots at big corporations like Nike will give them a multi-million dollar contract to go sell shoes. Capitalism. Well, at the same time, Colin Kaepernick in his big press conference talk about the injustices and police brutality and whatever the hell he wanted to spew out. Talking about America is so bad and evil, whatever. He's wearing a communist Cuba Castro shirt with Fidel Castro on it and Che Guevara and all these Cuban dictators. and murderers, because that's what Che Guevara is, a murderer. Hated gays. Yeah. Just didn't find, anytime he found one, shot him, popped him right in the head. That's Che Guevara. And he's the symbol of an ignorant generation that celebrates tyranny and communism and oppression. Che Guevara, Fidel Castro. That is the fool, Colin Kaepernick. At his big press conference, talking about the injustices in America and how America's so evil, he lacks perspective. He doesn't know how good he has it. Man, I agree with some of those comments. We were joking around earlier this week. I wish we had a foreign exchange program in this country where we could round up all the Antifa children of the Pacific Northwest and Portland and Seattle, put them on a C-130, send them down to Cuba, and offload them and provide an opportunity for those protesting in the streets, waving the American flag, wanting to come to America. You guys, you muchachos, you guys come over here, get aboard the C-130. We'll leave the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Portland, Antifa times. We'll leave them with you since they love socialism and communism so much. The meme that got me in trouble on Facebook a few days back, it was a picture of Colin Kaepernick with his Fidel Castro shirt, just whining and complaining. And then opposite of that picture was a picture of what I just told you. Cubans in Havana, more than likely Havana, but streets filled in Cuba, protesters protesting communism, protesting hunger and want and statism, and lack of opportunity and oppression under communism, and waving the American flag. And the meme simply said, this guy doesn't get it, these people do. That's pretty much it. That's the gist of what that meme said. Oh, no. Either someone following me, which I suspect it was. Normally I don't get in trouble with people following me. Or some snowflake in Mama's basement flagged it as hate speech. It went against community standards. That little simple meme that compared Colin Kaepernick complaining, whining, and bitching about America, compared that picture to Cubans protesting for liberty, carry the American flag, that was deemed as hate speech by Facebook. Took me off. First time in a long time, took me off for 24 hours. I couldn't say anything on one of my pages. I took a screenshot of that and shared it on my other page. And within 24 hours, when I came back, actually, I came back before 24 hours on Facebook. And because I complained, there's like a couple of things you click and say, you got it wrong. And I told them, you got it wrong. And I guess a bot, because see, it's either a snowflake in Mama's basement, or it's some algorithm bot that automatically flags something if it sees Cuba or something, which I suspect anything related to Cuba is probably being flagged a bit extra by Facebook. And I say that because I have another friend of mine, Ludi. She posted something related to Cuba and the protest, and she got flagged for hate speech, for posting something hateful against community standards by Facebook. So I'm thinking maybe Facebook is in the algorithm, or the snowflakes are in overdrive right now to trying to suppress Cuba information. What's it like for you? I'm just curious. In case you want to send me I still do the whole stupid Twitter thing. Jack the Hack Dorsey and his product. We need to create competition. Donald Trump, please hurry up. Create some competition for these people. It's at Sergio Talk on Twitter. At Sergio Talk on Twitter. I want to know, have you noticed that if maybe anything dealing with the protests in Cuba, is that being more suppressed than usual by Facebook, by Twitter? I'd like to know. At Sergio Talk, you want to send a quick message over on Twitter. Took a screenshot. I complained. I said, you got it wrong. I'm guessing the bot within minutes agreed and said, oh, we got it wrong. We're trying to perfect everything. Well, that screenshot, when I was allowed back, I shared and said, there's an example of something going wrong over here. Why are they? This is not hate speech. I was flagged again for hate speech. I complained again. And this time they confirmed that I went against community standards for a hate post. It's ridiculous. My goodness. We definitely, desperately need competition, but let the market figure it out as quickly as possible. You guys with a lot of money, please hurry up and spend it and create some more platforms, or support the platforms that need a big boost. to create that competition. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. We're broadcasting today from her Southern Command in McAllen, Texas, the studio of KURV Radio.
Let's talk about trust. Now more than ever, we need to support organizations like Patriot Mobile that really share our beliefs and actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier and donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you and I care about. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedoms and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and choose between 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment. Choose a plan that best fits your budget with multi-line discounts and free premier activation. Switching is easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call the U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more. Switch to a company that you trust to tell the truth. Get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment and free premier activation by using promo code DANA. See details at PatriotMobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Listen, today is a historic day. And it is in this case, it is a wonderful reminder that elections have consequences.
Yes.
I'm so grateful that we were able to deliver from the great state of Georgia. And as a result of that, 2.2 million Georgia children will see their lives changed in a remarkable and substantive way.
That is Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who I hope and pray, you patriots in Georgia, you guys better start lining up. You guys in Georgia, you better start registering more conservative voters, because I hope and pray that by the end of next year, I could refer to Senator Raphael Warnock as the outgoing, soon to leave, Senator Raphael. I hope to call him a half-term senator or a third-term senator, only 2 years, because he's serving out the remainder of his term. Yeah, Raphael Warnock, he was talking about the child tax credit expansion that's falling into some parents' accounts between now and the end of the year. Yeah, it's elections have consequences. Yeah, so does grotesque deficit spending. God help us. Okay, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Let's see what's here. Yeah, the big headline overseas. It's amazing. Really sad to see all the video of flash flooding from Germany and Belgium. They say at least 100 dead, 1,500 missing. Prayers for those folks in that part of the world. Back to the U.S., celebration of the life of Representative John Lewis being held this weekend in Nashville. He passed away last summer. Mayor of Orlando, Florida, excited by the announcement from Disney. Seems that Walt Disney Company will be relocating 2,000 employees from California and send them over to Orlando. Big hug and a kiss to my friends and family, Big Tony, Joe Kelly, all the gang over at WDBO in Orlando. A wobble in the moon's orbit could mean more flooding in the coastal regions of the U.S. But according to a new write-up in Nature Climate Change, happens every 19 years, might lead to very high tide, very low tide, they say. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
To the people of Cuba, I want you to know your message is being heard. Your bravery is being seen. And it's worth it. This is potentially an inflection point. And America should stand up and speak boldly on the side of freedom.
Here, that's our senator from Texas, Rafael. Ted Cruz from Texas, who, by the way, picked up a piece of audio from him this week. He was doing an interview. I don't remember who it was. Well, by the way, welcome to hour two of the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and Dana, Lord willing, will be back with us on Monday. The Twitter thing, you want to send a hello, it's at Sergio Talk. Ted Cruz, our senator from Texas, in the interview I heard from him, it was a separate one from earlier this week. He was, since his dad is Cuban, right? Ted, his dad is Cuban, and his dad fled from Cuba, not a penny in his pocket, just one of those amazing stories, great stories. His dad, has been in contact with extended family, folks left in Cuba, who are trying to protest. And the reports coming back to Ted, all I recall is all these reports of people being arrested, folks disappearing, a list of individuals who are disappearing that it is growing, like hundreds of people. Police beating up on protesters is pretty bad. And we're in the dark. We just have no idea what's going on because we rely on a few people to take a little bit of video and maybe share that somehow with a tourist or whomever, try to get that out, maybe open up a Wi-Fi connection. I don't know, maybe on like a cruise ship or whatever shows up and people show up there. Cuba has no excuse. Cuba, like Venezuela, I know Cuba is no Venezuela. They don't have the natural resources that Venezuela does, but Venezuela, just another poster child for what Joe Biden said. If I played that audio earlier, Joe Biden, a quote from him when he was sitting all there with Angela Merkel from Germany, being all tough and saying, yeah, communism is a failure. Socialism is not a good substitute either. Well, Venezuela, it's just a poster child example. If you have all the natural resources, all the minerals and the petrol and the young working people, and you piss that all that away with centralized control. Centralized control, decision-making of means of production, natural resources, distribution. It is abject, absolute failure that leads to hunger and misery. There's no excuse for Venezuela to be as poor and as miserable as they are right now. Here on the U.S.-Mexican border that I'm reporting to you from, the Dana Show Southern Command, McAllen, Texas, all the way to Brownsville, Texas, where Elon Musk is setting up his little rocket facility. We're the favorite entry point for illegal immigrants right now coming to us from Central America. We have seen a triple-digit percent increase in folks from Venezuela traveling through Central America, through Mexico, giving all sorts of money to Mexican cartels and human traffickers to get their butts over here because they shouldn't be miserable in Venezuela. They should be enjoying the fruits of their country, of their soil, of their minerals. But because of centralized decision-making, communism, socialism controls everything, they are miserable. Same thing in Cuba. Now, Cuba doesn't have all the oil and natural reserves, but Cuba, the U.S., this whole embargo, this lie from AOC, she's been quoted the past 24 hours saying it, blaming America, just like Black Lives Matter, blaming America for the misery in Cuba, the embargo. There have been plenty of euros, plenty of Mexican pesos, because in Mexico City, they're still all chummy with, well, the communists in Mexico City, they're all chummy with communists in Cuba. There's plenty of tourism activity going into Cuba. But because of centralized decision-making on every other means of production and distribution, communism has failed in Cuba as well. And it's only exacerbated by the COVID mess that they face right now. All right, Steve, I need to go ahead and pitch to my next conversation. I want to share with you from Heritage Action, a new friend of mine of late, Noah Weinrich, and I hope that you consider, listen to this conversation about the Texas election reforms, how it's been written up. We're pushing back against the lies from the left. This is not the end of democracy or an attack on democracy in Texas. We're going to try to go point by point best we can, explain to you the Texas election reform law. And please consider support for Heritage Action. That is the muscle, the advocacy arm and group of the Heritage Foundation. Go ahead, Steve.
Over 50 Democrat state lawmakers bolted from Texas, in my opinion, ran like cowards to Washington, D.C., where they can't be rounded up by state authorities and given over to the Texas Rangers and DPS and brought back to Texas to do their job. Vote up or down on Texas election reform. Let me go to Heritage Action, Noah Weinrich. So much has been said about how
drive-through voting and 24-hour voting and all these little programs they're going to be done away with, and that's is un-American and taking people's rights to vote. All this hyperbole and all these, my word, lies, which is actually the truth, what was taking place. Do working people a favor. Catch some of those points that are in the Texas election proposed law. Because as I've been saying, the foundational push is voter ID, making sure mail-in ballots are confirmed. One citizen, one vote. And that's where we started with this. I have not seen any news copy emphasize that nationwide. Can you do us a favor and just go step by step? What do you see in the proposed Texas law?
Certainly. Well, thank you, Sergio, for having me on. It's so important to let people know what's actually in this bill. You know, we need to cut through the hype and the hyperbole. Let's talk about what's actually in this. So like you said, the biggest thing, the most important thing, is voter ID for mail-in ballots. So Texas already has voter ID if you're voting in person. 89% of Texans support voter ID. We see this from Texas Public Policy Foundation polling earlier this week. But what the bill would do is extend that provision to mail-in ballots, so make it consistent. No matter if you're voting in person or by mail, you have to include some form of ID. And we found, the Texas Public Policy Foundation found that 81% of Texans support that provision. They support voter ID for mail-in ballots. This is not controversial. Across the state, across nearly every population in Texas, people support it. It makes sense. You know, this is not a restriction. It doesn't restrict anyone from voting. Nearly everyone has an ID of some kind and can pretty easily include it. But what it does is make sure that people who are voting are who they say they are. And then there are a number of other provisions. What this bill really does is it makes it easier to vote and harder to cheat. Just look at the early voting provisions. So what the bill would do is actually expand the required number of early voting hours. So previously the law said that polling places had to be open during normal business hours for the county clerk. And in some counties, you know, particularly smaller counties, more rural counties, those would not be very long hours. So what the bill would do is expand those early voting hours. The Senate bill would expand it from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. That is 15 hours of voting per day. So in some counties, early voting is doubled. It also extends the provisions. Previously, there was a cutoff. You had to have more early voting if your county had over 100,000 people. Now they've changed that threshold to 30,000 people. So you know, mid-sized, smaller counties are now going to have to extend early voting hours as well. So it makes it easier to vote. Some other provisions. It strengthens prohibitions and clarifies prohibitions on ballot harvesting. This is where people go around. They are paid to collect absentee ballots or mail-in ballots and bring those into the polling place. We've seen this as a big source of fraud in the past. It actually overturned a congressional election in 2018. This is widely recognized as a big source of fraud. So the bill doesn't ban mail-in voting, doesn't ban absentee ballots, but it strengthens longstanding prohibitions on paid ballot harvesting. There are a number of other provisions. Clarifies poll watcher protections. It strengthens, you know, voter list maintenance. Make sure the Secretary of State is addressing ineligible voter removals in 30 days. The list really goes on, but at the end of the day, it is common sense stuff.
It clarifies who may be present at polling locations, elections officers, voters, poll watchers, individuals assisting voters when necessary. When more registered voters, the county has more registered voters and voters eligible to vote, this law would force at the local level. You need to investigate that and clarify that. To me, that screams of dead voters that had not been purged from the rolls, Noah Weinrich with Heritage Action. That needs to be investigated.
Absolutely. You know, it says to me that, you know, while there may be no malicious fraud going on, it's creating the conditions for fraud to possibly occur. And it screams to me this is poor list maintenance. Hopefully the Secretary of State should be going in there. You know, anytime somebody dies, they should be taking them off the voter rolls. You know, those death certificates are available anytime somebody moves out of state.
The state of Texas knows when somebody dies. Well, they should, right? Because the state issues the death certificate, but that somehow doesn't translate back to the voter roll, purging people from that. And you get some jury notices for dead people all the time. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And it's shocking when you look into this and you see how many people are registered in multiple states, how many dead voters are on the rolls, how many wrong addresses there are. And so that's what this bill would improve. It would improve that list maintenance. So they're not sending ballots to dead people. So they're not sending applications to people who have moved out of state. Some of the other provisions in the bill are clarifying poll watcher protections and rules governing observation. Last year we saw some judges around the state illegally kick out or obstruct poll watchers. These were people legally allowed to be there to watch the polls, make sure that everything is up to code and everything. But a judge obstructed them. It prevented them from actually viewing the counting of the ballots. And a judge later found that this was illegal. And so this has been documented. Last year it was a problem. And so this bill is really fixing problems that arose during last year's election. It was a one-of-a-kind election during the pandemic. You had never seen before 24-hour voting. You had never seen the level of mail-in voting. You'd never seen the level of drop boxes. And so that's what this bill is.
All these 24-hour voting, drop, they need to be properly staffed. But we need eyeballs from county looking to make sure that there's no funny business. That's why that needs to be properly reined in. Noah Weinrich with Heritage Action. By the way, look them up. Heritage Action. They're doing legwork. They're in states where we're trying to get all these election reforms passed, including the state of Texas. When it comes to mail-in ballots, Noah, Texas ID, a license or Texas ID that's issued by DPS, it's free, or the last four digits of your social security number, or... I can't believe this. You send in a letter saying, I have not been issued any of that. No ID, no license, no social security card, which to me just screams like what? I'm sorry, you don't have a social security card? You're not a citizen. But anyway, you're still allowed to send in a letter and send in a vote. And I would hope that that's a provisional vote, by the way, that eventually needs to be proven that you are a citizen. I don't see any voter suppression with all these provisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Texas Democrats have fled to D.C. based on a myth. Voter suppression is laughable when they are expanding early voting hours across the state, when they are allowing people to vote without a full ID. They don't have to send in a copy of their driver's license. They have to send in the last four digits of their social. I know the last four digits of my social. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
It's not really a burden.
Yeah, you kind of need it for a lot of stuff. Bill paying, bank, work that you do when you have to prove who you are, the last four digits are commonly used for pretty much everything. And another thing on the forensic portion of this, the mail-in votes, ballots voted by mail must be stored separately from ballots cast at a polling location. I think that is absolutely vital. Going back to what you and I were talking about on dead people voting and those things popping up from time to time. If we have the mail-in ballots stored separately from ballots cast at a polling location, that would help with any future forensics to see how many dead people are voting. We must have that in the state of Texas. That's one of the provisions in there.
If you look at the actual legislative process, the SB7, which was passed in the regular session by the House, did not end up getting passed into final law because Texas Democrats walked out. Republicans have compromised with them. They looked at a couple of the provisions, some stuff on Sunday voting. And they said, you know what? You have objections to that. It's not essential for the bill. We'll take it out. They've actually compromised with Democrats, and Democrats still fled to Washington. They're not legislating in good faith. They are pulling PR stunts. They are walking out. They're flying out. If you just look at Twitter, it's unbelievable. They are camped out in the basement of one of the house buildings here in D.C., just a mile away from me, over nothing.
SaveOurElections.com with Heritage Action, Noah Weinrich. Good organization to support. Very few foot soldiers in the cause of liberty and defending our elections. Yeah, Heritage Action is one of them.
I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show from South Texas.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at DeltaRescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly DeltaRescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at DeltaRescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit DeltaRescue.org/Dana today.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, Lord willing, Dana will be back with us on Monday. As always, an honor to, you know, be in for my friend Dana. I was talking a lot about Colin Kaepernick earlier. I just saw this headline. The dude is looking for new ways to make money. I guess he's still receiving a royalty or support check from Nike, right? Because, well, this guy, well, he's venturing into children's books now. Oh, no. We don't need his willful ignorance, destructive thinking promoted towards children. Colin Kaepernick, book author. Let's see. Multi-year deal, multi-book deal with Scholastic. Oh, goody. The first book to be published titled I Color Myself Different. Yes, that's what clowns do, man. That's lots of color, lots of makeup. Anyway, that's a new kid's book. You know what I saw the other day? What was the store? I think I was over at, I was with the boys over at Five Below. Man, like, they're all over the place. They're like dollar stores, those Five Below stores. And in the kids' book section, they have these, the series is Who Was, Who Is, right? And they, Abraham Lincoln, Condoleezza Rice, and presidents, historical figures, civil rights leader Martin Luther King. They had one for Greta Thunberg. Little kids reading about this know-nothing, do-nothing child, Greta Thunberg. I mean, it's like I line them up. Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, and then beneath that was Kamala Harris and Greta Thunberg. Oh, my goodness. We just continue to dumb down our generation. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Florida guy who stole an alligator from a miniature golf course, swinging it around violently, throwing it by its tail into the air, trying to throw it onto the roof of a miniature golf facility. 3:20 in the morning when this was taking place, according to police. His name is William Hodge, the suspect taken into custody, abusing this live gator. 32-year-old simply said he was trying to teach the gator a lesson, I guess, not to go back to the facility. The Dana Show from South Texas. From Southern Command in South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Welcome to Hour 3 for a Friday. Lord willing, Dana will be back with us on Monday. We had, within the last hour, the daily press briefing over at the White House, the master of spin, Jen Psaki, and Peter Ducey over at Fox. And this is a continuation of the conversation where the Surgeon General, for example, saying that all this misinformation is a threat. The individuals that go online and provide misinformation about COVID and the vaccines, that's a threat. In fact, there was another cut, Steve-O, of there was a claim. I don't remember. I don't have it right in front of me. But there was another cut that you
for today that said there was like several dozen individuals that are the ones that are dispensing the most information. It was closer. Okay, play that one real quick. Yeah. Three, two,
there's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including Facebook, ones that Facebook owns.
Okay, so we go from that to an admission within the past 24 hours of the government working with Facebook to monitor this misinformation, as she labels it. And you notice the natural reaction of status, the natural, it's almost like they're wired this way. Many tyrants, baby tyrants, statist-minded individuals, that you give them power and they don't want to have this conversation. It's like the Texas lawmakers. The 51 cowards, Democrats, state lawmakers in Texas, bolting from the state, going to Washington, D.C. to have their own version of a political action conference up there. I guess they got jealous because Republicans and conservatives and libertarians had their conservative political action committee conference up there in Dallas, which was a lot of fun, by the way. I look forward to the next one. But I guess they got jealous. They wanted their own pep rally. They wanted to go see Mama Pelosi and shut down Schumer and Joe Biden while he's awake and just have a powwow and a get-together. They ran from Texas. They just shut down. They don't want to talk. They don't want to debate. That it seems to be in the nature of all these leftists to want to shut you down. You don't agree with them? Stop talking. They will label you. You don't think right. They will call you whatever, racist, label you as dispensing hate speech and misinformation. You know what cures misinformation? Is the truth. What cures misinformation is more information. And not the lazy route of statists and leftists and Marxists and all these in power and in control wanting to label everyone who does not agree with them as a racist, as a hater, and take pages down. Like me, took me down for 24 hours. Like Dana, they'll take stuff down for whatever she says. Even just harmless stuff, like I told you earlier, just posting on ratings for talk shows across the country. What cures misinformation is more information. Let me share with you, because Steve got a little snippet of the conversation between Peter Ducey, who, by the way, congratulations to Peter. He's sharpening his teeth. He's getting better at this. I know it's a hard gig. I can just imagine what it must be like working in that press pool surrounded by sycophants and being among the few individuals trying to get some truth, squeeze some truth, press some truth out of the White House. Here's a continuation of this misinformation conversation, the government working with Facebook, trying to shut down individuals that they do not agree with. Go ahead, Steve.
And then speaking of misinformation and the announcement from yesterday, for how long has the administration been spying on people's Facebook profiles looking for vaccine misinformation?
Well, that was quite a loaded and inaccurate question, which I would refute.
How?
Well, Peter, first of all, as you know, we're in a regular touch with a range of media outlets.
As we are
in regular touch with social media platforms. This is publicly open information, people sharing information online, just as you are all reporting information on your news stations.
Okay, so these 12 people who you have on a list, 12 individuals, do they know that somebody at the Surgeon General's office is going through their profile?
Nope. I'm happy to get you the citation of where that comes from. There's no secret list. I will tell you that these are people who are sharing information on public platforms on Facebook. Information that is traveling is inaccurate. Our biggest concern here, and I frankly think it should be your biggest concern, is the number of people who are dying around the country because they're getting misinformation that is leading them to not take a vaccine.
But
young people, old people, kids, children. This is all being, a lot of them are being impacted by misinformation.
The big concern, though, I think for a lot of people on Facebook is that now this is Big Brother watching you.
Yep.
They're more concerned about that than people dying across the country because of a pandemic where misinformation is traveling on social media platforms. That feels unlikely to me. If you have the data to back that up, I'm happy to discuss it.
About things that are on Facebook, I looked this morning. There are videos of Dr. Fauci from 2020 before anybody had a vaccine, and he is out there saying there's no reason to be walking around with a mask. So is the administration going to contact Facebook and ask them to take that down?
Well, first, I think what Dr. Fauci has said himself, who's been quite public out there, is that science evolves, information evolves, and we make that available in a public way to the American people.
Exactly.
I have never seen any data to suggest that that the vaccines cause infertility. That is information that is irresponsibly traveling. Okay.
Just one more.
Science evolves. Information evolves. Good point. And Jen Psaki, on her own, she shot herself down. You need more information. See, one of the failures that I see from the Biden administration, aside from the, you know, missing the wiffle ball, hitting 70% vaccination rate in this country, was to take charge. He failed. Joe Biden is probably asleep half the day, so you really couldn't expect much from him. But let's say, for example, instead of appointing Kamala Harris completely useless when it came to the Biden border mess, the mess that he created, maybe, I don't know, appoint her the new czar over the COVID committee, the COVID doctors, the COVID task force, and follow up with regular conversations like, Donald Trump did. He provided leadership. Yes, I know I'm kind of sick and tired of saying Dr. Fauci, but recognize, you know, be self-aware enough that Dr. Fauci, that he's been compromised because of his emails. But take him away, put somebody else in front, put the Surgeon General. Go see Dr. Murdy. Go listen from him every single day. Have that conversation with the American people. When misinformation, or what you see as misinformation, or which is natural in media, when they gravitate and focus to a minute number of allergic reactions or negative reactions, Johnson & Johnson vaccine or the Pfizer vaccine, or in some children, about 100, 200 kids out of 20 million kids, about 200 of them had their hearts swell up for a temporary on a temporary basis, and that all that went away naturally. But that became top of the hour news. And it is the traditional media. It is the dinosaur media. It's all these meat puppets. And I borrow that from a dear friend of mine who I love that term, meat puppets, ripping readers, news anchors, and writers who just grab the Associated Press pool write up on heart inflammation for several hundred children. Yeah, put it into perspective. 20 million doses handed out. And the FDA doing a review of all this. What I'm trying to say is when traditional media, you talk about misinformation, traditional media, dinosaur media, the major networks, all these anchors, the meat puppets, by the thousands nationwide at all news radio stations and FM music stations, all these jocks spinning music for 30 minutes and just every now and then just grabbing a little headline and rereading it on the radio. Push back against that misinformation, that perspective that leads to individuals being afraid from getting the vaccine. I'm just saying what Joe Biden should have, would have, could have done. There is no leadership at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We have no president. We have a part-time president. He sleeps half the day. He should have appointed Kamala Harris to be the point person, put somebody credible and believable in front of the people, like, I don't know, the Surgeon General, to speak on behalf of the committee. And then as these headlines that are being dispensed by traditional media on the negative reactions to the vaccines, point by point, put the numbers, compare the numbers, look at 200 out of 20 million. Oh, by the way, let me give you another example. Just all medications have side effects to them. Here is, blood pressure medication. These are the potential side effects for that.
all these commercials that run on television selling you designer drugs and new drugs to fix I don't know what, from ED to all sorts. They finish their commercials with a long list, a super long list of obligatory mentions of side effects like explosive diarrhea to other stuff. But see, a panel prompted by the White House, like let's say Donald Trump constantly was in front of the American people with his doctors providing information. If you wanted to hit 70% vaccination rate, that's what he should have done, Joe Biden. And that's what they still can provide. In other words, more information, more conversations will push back lies, misinformation. Not this lazy mindset that is natural to these statists and these politicos and these bureaucrats. Just to shut everyone down they do not agree with. The truth is out there. Have that conversation. Push back. Jen Psaki talking about science and information evolving. Bring up the placards. Bring up the big poster boards. Show examples of negative reactions to this medication, negative reaction to that medication. Okay, let's compare it to what happens with Pfizer. Yes, I know it hasn't been fully approved. I know it's emergency designation, but for individuals that are truly vulnerable, they especially of all people, should be getting this vaccine. I speak from experience, friend. I've told you before, this first time you listen to me, I have a cystic fibrosis kid, and he's part of a very small population. You make your own decision, be informed, make an informed decision on what you're going to do with the vaccine. And I thank God for you, my talk radio audience. You guys are more informed than the average radio listening bear. But I know for me, for my little boy, I look at COVID-19 Delta. I'm looking at a report out of San Antonio that's wigging me out today, a part of the news radio pool out of San Antonio, UT Health Science Center, San Antonio. That's the same place, the big hospital in San Antonio. That's where I take my kid for his CF clinic updates and re-up of all the special medications that hopefully will extend his life to live at least as long as old as I am. And I'm midstream. That's a unique situation. But to protect his lungs, I am looking forward to getting my 9-year-old the vaccine to protect him, protect his lungs, because I'm the exception. I'm not the norm. But I am making an educated decision on this, and I'm basing it on just, for example, all the medications that he's taking from the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to extend his life and all the potential side effects that they told us about that he would get as a result of these medications. Now, I'm looking at this report out of UT's San Antonio today on these kids on ventilators. I don't know what their age, I don't know how many, but there's a doctor, UT Health Science Center, San Antonio. Look it up, go look it up. He's been quoted in the news the past 24 hours about some kids, young kids, sick as a result of the Delta variant. That's something new we're likely gonna have to grapple with here pretty soon. More information will kill disinformation. Killing more information, all it does is promote suspicion, lack of trust, and more ignorance. That's all it is. And that's what Jen Psaki is promoting by working with Facebook to red flag and take down stuff. How quickly we forget. It was a year ago that we're calling Donald Trump and all the people talking about China, the source, the lab possibly being the source of this COVID vaccine, how quickly they forget. It was a year ago they were calling Donald Trump a kook, a conspiracy theorist for making that, talking about that possibility. Oh, where are we now, a year later, after the Fauci emails came out? We need more information. That's all we need, more information to reach the truth. From Southern Command in South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are listening to The Dana Show.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
From her Southern Command in deep South Texas, still on blessed soil, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana, Lord willing, she'll be back with us on Monday. You can say hi via the Twitter thing, which I hope eventually gets some stiff competition by liberty-minded investors. At Sergio Talk. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Texas GOP chartered airplane headed to Washington, D.C. Going to land and sit on a tarmac this weekend in case the 51, my word, cowards, House Democrats who left the state for nothing decide to come on back and stop wasting their money. And let's get this done, these necessary Texas voter reforms. 11-hour standoff in West Texas. Again, sending out love and a lot of sympathy over to West Texas. A Lubbock area SWAT Commander Sergeant Josh Bartlett was killed in the line of duty the past 24 hours. Someone who paid $28 million to take a space ride with Jeff Bezos has bailed out last minute. Unnamed investor, anonymous bidder, was supposed to join Amazon CEO and two other people on the maiden Blue Origin flight and is not participating due to quote unquote a scheduling conflict. Do you think that you know way ahead of time what your schedule would be? I think it's the side effects that person fears. You know, things like fiery reentry, explosive decompression, all that. Oh, and happy birthday, Metallica, 40 years old. The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
I don't understand this personal choice that some people are making. I mean, what kind of choice is it to infect other people, including other people's children? And so I think parents should know that they need to do their best to protect their children by getting vaccinated themselves, as Dr. Belensky very well said. And I think we also have to keep in mind that indoor masking remains important for our young children. If they're not yet able to be vaccinated, they should still be wearing masks indoors, including in the classroom.
Lord help us. I'm so looking forward to this season eventually disappearing. That is Dr. Lena Nguyen. There were comments on CNN, the Clueless News Network. They used to be a great news network. Oof. More than two decades ago, and they actually provided some news. It's just nothing but crazy talk of late. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. And if you're just joining the show, look, don't get me wrong. In the first half hour, I was explaining my special needs kid, you know, I'm going to get him the vaccine. He's 9 years old to protect him. We're very careful with him, like to the point of almost paranoia. But that's just me. People need to make their own decisions. And that's the America, in essence, that's the America that we have right now. Individuals who want to get the vaccine. The vaccines are readily available everywhere. You want it, get it. You don't want it, move on with your life. If you wind up being like one of those few individuals that get it, and the overwhelming majority of individuals, as the numbers are climbing back post 4th of July, just a little bit, they are climbing back in some markets. As far as hospitalizations, that's what I'm referring to. If you get it, you did not get the vaccine, that's on you. Amigo, that's on you. And that's the way it should be. Otherwise, we live in a medical tyrannical state forever. And of all the things that could kill you, it's the state, it's the paternal state that needs to come in and protect you from everything from plane crashes to car crashes to secondhand smoke to saturated fat clogging up your veins. So everything. At some point, you give people a choice. That's America. And thank God for Donald Trump and his COVID doctors and committee. We have emergency vaccines for individuals who want it. The lack of leadership, I will explain to you again, the lack of leadership from my perspective is the Biden administration not providing enough information, not having regular conversations. Use the Surgeon General and get him out there to push back against all these regular reports that are fueled by traditional media on some of the side effects. Well, provide us the information, put it into perspective. We're not getting that from the Biden. So Mr. Biden, Jen Psaki, this administration, they only have themselves to blame for not properly messaging, providing more information for the American people to make better decisions. If the better decision is get the vaccine for you and your family, so be it. Explain to me why over and over and over again. Don't try to shut me down. Let's see what else is here. NFL in the news. I mentioned this little headline that prompted a reminder of something I saw yesterday. National Football League
that I just, this is just me. I lost the mojo some time back. I still haven't gotten it back. And they're about to enter more, about to conduct more stupid behavior that will not bring me back. Anyway, NFL saying that each team will play at least one international game every 8 years. That's the headline today. The headline from yesterday, this headline today reminded me yesterday, I saw another headline that said that the NFL is getting ready to ramp up more social justice messaging on uniforms, on the field, on helmets. It's like Black Lives Matter advocacy 2.0. They're getting ready to throttle up more social justice, social warriorism messaging on the field with their players in their broadcasts. That's the last thing, in my opinion, that's the last thing that they need at a time when Black Lives Matter and the NFL cut them a very generous check last year. This Marxist organization, Black Lives Matter, BLM, has a lot of money in the bank because of the NFL, because of Major League Baseball, because of the NBA, because of corporate America. They've got enough money to exist for Lord knows how many decades without doing any fundraising. Black Lives Matter is supporting communist Cuba dictators and condemning the United States of America for the situation in Cuba. Polar opposite from what the truth is. That's BLM. So get ready for more social justice warriorism from the NFL. That was a headline from yesterday. Go look it up. All right, let's push back against all this ignorance, this critical race theory. I know that as parents, you want to arm yourself. There's some resources out there. So here's a conversation I had related to all this. So educate yourself. Arm yourself as a parent, as a taxpayer as well. Go ahead, Steve-O.
At an annual conference, I understand that the nation's largest teachers union defiantly said, yeah, they will be promoting racist critical race theory and also target opponents of CRT. I understand they've got a legal fund ready to fight at the local level. Anyone who shows up at a school board to try to fight racist critical race theory. I need to make sure to put that racist word in there. Let me bring in an expert who's watching this from the Eagles perch. Erica Sanzi is Director of Outreach for Parents Defending Education. Let's start there, Ms. Erica. Parents Defending Education, tell me about your organization.
Thanks for having me. So we are kind of brand new. I think we're about 12 weeks in since our launch. And we grew out of what was an obvious need to help support parents to sort of push back and also better understand what's happening in their children's classrooms. We're seeing an alarming increase in not just activism in the classroom, but actually, you know, almost grooming students to become activists mm-hmm. for the causes that their teachers wanted them to. But in addition to that, what we were seeing was a total absence of diversity of thought, as well as no longer permitting students to question or offer alternative points of view. So in addition to what we saw as the crushing of a student's First Amendment rights, free speech in the classroom, we also began to see compelled speech happening where, you know, where a student had to accept as truth what the teacher was telling them and then almost declare that to be true. So, you know, you had to declare your privilege if you were born male, for example.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And so it became, you know, what we all sort of knew, I mean, I was a teacher for a decade. I was in the NEA in two different states. So, yes, it always had a liberal lean. That is true. And I, as sort of a politically homeless, moderate, centrist type, that was even obvious to me. But this is different. What we're seeing now is dogma. And again, it feels like orthodoxy. It almost feels as if like a different version of Scientology has crept in and you can't speak out against what your teacher and your school are telling you, to the point now that sometimes simply asking a question or refusing to comply is described by school officials as a hateful act.
So what is the motivation, Ms. Erica? What's the for the largest teachers you're going to say and double down, quadruple down, say, yeah, we are promoting critical race theory. And not only that, we're going to fight on the ground. We got attorneys. We got a fund. We're ready to fight on the ground to promote this racism.
That's a really good question. And, you know, for those of us who aren't really conspiracy theory types, right? You don't want to think that it's as bad as what it's beginning to seem like it is. There is no question that this is a far left ideology that has suddenly gone from, you know, it felt like it was sort of in the universities at the very elite level, and suddenly now it is metastasized across K-12. It's not everywhere, but it's definitely in every state. So it's pervasive, and it is increasing. And you are right. And also, the messaging is all over the place. You can tell that the pushback that's coming from parents has left, I think, these organizations a bit flat-footed. And I think that's partly because they didn't really understand that the anger that they unleashed by pushing to keep schools closed, as well as then forcing school to suddenly be broadcast in our kitchens and our living rooms, meant that not only were parents frustrated that schools were closed, but now they were seeing and hearing in real time exactly what was happening, what their children were learning and being told. And the materials were available to them, you know, in these sort of online assignment folders. Suddenly there's just this, it's almost like a perfect storm in ways. But you are correct. The National Educators Association is the largest teachers union in the country. They voted to teach social studies informed by critical race theory, to promote its ideas, and to investigate its opponents. They are calling it an honest teaching of history, but that is a lie. That is absolutely not what it is. And interestingly enough, within about 48 to 72 hours of voting and passing that resolution promoting critical race theory, they've since scrubbed the resolution from their website. So if you go look now at their new business items that they, you know, they basically debate all these business items at an annual convention type of thing, and you can follow along online. Well, those are all gone now within 72 hours. So my suspicion is that the pushback has been swift. They also,
I hope you took plenty of pictures of it and rebroadcast that on Twitter, please.
Oh yeah, we all have that. And at the same time too, the American Federation of Teachers, which is the second largest teachers union, and most big cities tend to be affiliated with them, their leader literally in one breath is saying that there is no critical race theory being taught in elementary, middle, or high schools at all in America. And in the same breath, and then now has her keynote speaker this week, is Ibram Kendi. So again, their messaging is all over the place, and they're also, they're not proud of what they're doing because they're consistently hiding, lying, pivoting, and now hiding what they're up to. Do you have 30 seconds for me to read something to you?
Yes, Erica Zanzi with Parents Defending Education. Go ahead, Erica.
Parents would probably be interested to know that the NEA in 2019 defeated a resolution. They've also scrubbed this from their website. This is what they defeated, okay? So they approved informing all social studies with critical race theory. They defeated this. The NEA will rededicate itself to the pursuit of increased student learning in every public school by putting a renewed emphasis on quality education. That went down in flames. These organizations are not about student learning. They are not about effective instruction. They are not about our children. I was a member of two NEA-affiliated unions, one in Massachusetts, one in California. They don't care about our kids.
It's in corporate America. It is in education. I had a friend of mine up in Dallas, Dana Lash. She had to fight this on the ground with neighbors. It's already rooted in Texas. It's all over the place, and I'm telling people they need to get in there and speak with their teachers, listen and observe the curriculum coming home, especially on social studies, and address the issue at local school board and push back. We cannot allow this racism, this division by race, where all whites are the oppressors, and anybody with melanin in their skin will always be oppressed. That's ridiculous. This is an insult to the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King. This is not American. Parents Defending Education, how can you help parents tuning in right now? Website, any resources, what you got?
Oh, we have lots of things. So if listeners go to defendinged.org, we have a website. What we do is when incidences are brought to our attention, parents can submit, or grandparents or teachers can submit submissions to us about concerns that they have. They can attach primary source documents, which is what we generally use to corroborate what we're hearing. If it rises to the level of something that we consider to be concerning enough and we can corroborate it, it goes up on our map. We have what's called an indoctrination map. So you can click on states and you can look up different districts. We put up new ones every day. We have lots of resources, too, because one of the things that is really important is that it's hard to be convincing when you're only fighting against something, right, and you're not really offering any alternatives. So in addition to us pointing out the concerns we have with certain programs, curriculum, orthodoxies being pushed into schools, we also have suggestions for alternatives in social studies as well as in what's now called, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And while those words have been hijacked by a lot of people, there are still others out there doing excellent, constructive work. We have guides and toolkits for people about how to speak at a school board meeting, how to run for their PTO, how to run for the school board, what the jargon means. One of the things is parents are overwhelmed by new words and jargon that suddenly seems to be appearing in every single communication from their school. And they're also noticing that terms suddenly seem to have changed meaning. And that's true in the sense that a lot of activists have sort of hijacked words and they started to use them to mean different things.
Right.
But anyway, lots of resources. DefendingEd.org.
DefendingEd.org. DefendingEd.org. Thank you for all the time, Erica. Erica Zanzi with Parents Defending Education. And as Texas lawmakers, some of them, all Democrats, again, my word, cowards, all of them ran to Washington, D.C., they're not doing their job of defending our children from critical race theory. They're up in D.C. Well, on the Senate side in Texas, they have quorum here in Texas. So the Texas Senate, they've moved forward establishing law, pushing back against critical race theory. Just some of the legislation waiting these cowards as they eventually come back to Texas from Washington, D.C. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
From Southern Command for The Dana Show, I'm Sergio Sanchez. Dana, thank you. Lord bless you, protect you and Chris on your trip. And a big hug and a kiss to y'all. And again, thanks for calling on Southern Command. My name is Sergio Sanchez. I am the program director and host of the Sergio Show here in South Texas. KURV is the radio station. It's the only news talker in deep South Texas. And you want to say hi? Got a couple of pages on Facebook. And Lord, I hate these people. But you got to use it because they're like the biggest. Twitter, biggest in town. So anyway, Twitter at Sergio Talk. It's at Sergio Talk. A little bit of good news before we close out the program. Saw this headline on the Hubble Space Telescope, soon to be back in action. Engineers on the ground, California over to Houston. Somehow they were able to make some type of remote repair. I thought we had lost the Hubble Space Telescope. One thing I love to do, just winding down in the evening. I do this quite often, winding down in the evening and just thinking about just life itself, the gift and beauty of life, and the fact that I am here and I remember the, you know, I'm a believer in Christ, and I'm fascinated by his transition when after resurrection, he came back and he was switching between here and then disappearing there, poof, here and there, poof, just like leaving his disciples astonished. Like, I love to think about stuff like that and how vast the expanse of the universe is. I love the pictures. My goodness, I love just gawking and taking in the beauty of the all these multiple colors, the beach that it seems, all this sand, that the pictures from deep space, all these stars and galaxies. I love that. And thanks to this Hubble Space Telescope, we're able to enjoy something like that. All right, Steve, I wish we could close on that note, but we got to close with day and stupidity. What you got, brother?
Oh, good. Bernie Sanders is out there trying to help inflation, and he has a hot take on how to fix it. So here you go.
Well, I am concerned about inflation, among many other things. As I think you know, this bill, this $3.5 trillion, and then there's another $600 billion in a so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill, will pay for itself. It'll be paid for.
That's how it works.
Pay for itself. So-called infrastructure, I think is the emphasis. So-called infrastructure, the humanist infrastructure. Yeah, that old dog, that's one old dog that will never learn the truth of capitalism and markets. Economics 101. Yeah, just keep printing money. That's it for the program. Appreciate you checking in. Check out the online broadcast, DanaRadio.com. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Dana in with us on Monday.